Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org. Additional support comes from the Jackson Laboratory, researching the root causes of cancer and other genetic diseases, designated a cancer center by the National Cancer Institute, JAX.org.
To paraphrase an old advertising slogan, spelling bees are for kids. I mention this because the most illustrious of these competitions is the annual Scripps Spelling Bee, which begins on Tuesday and will be televised on ESPN. But to paraphrase most parents, why should kids have all the fun and endure all the humiliation? That seems to have been the rhetorical question behind the spelling bee for adults, which reporter Gabe Bullard visited last winter in Louisville, Kentucky.
It's a Thursday night at Zanzibar, a bar in Louisville's hip Germantown neighborhood. Patrons wear bee suits, drink, and compete as teams in a spelling bee similar to the Scripps National Bee. I've never been to the Scripps Bee, but I'm guessing it doesn't sound like this when someone spells quidnunc with a K instead of a C.
It was C, I'm so sorry.
You know, number one, that's the booze. I'd say more than anything. But no, I don't know. People get really excited about it in the same way that, you know, they get excited about, I don't know. I can't think of a good example.
That's Emily Forrester. She started the new spelling bee, which she spells S-P-L-E-L-I-N-G-B-E, last winter.
I was determined to get people out of their houses and do something, and I was watching Spellbound and thought to myself, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen a spelling bee. Why are there no chances for adults to compete in them? I want to do one, and it'd be hilarious if we did it at a bar. Why not?
In 1 year, attendance to the bee has tripled, and this January's competition is the biggest yet. 44 teams of one, two, or three players signed up. Forrester is impressed, but she's not entirely surprised. She says there's something about the bee that brings out the crowds, and it's not necessarily the booze. That's boozes and alcohol, not the plural of boo.
And I remember when I started talking about this idea to people, instead of responding like, oh yeah, that'd be a great idea, they would immediately tell me a story about, oh, I lost my fifth grade spelling bee, I lost on the word strawberry, are you kidding me? And then they would spell it for me right then and there. So that was a signal to me that, you know, this is burned in people's brains.
And she's right. Here are a few competitors.
I'm ashamed to admit it was the word angry. I spelled A-N-R-G-Y.
Won at the school, went on to the regionals, got down to me and one other guy. I don't remember what I lost on, but I remember his word, whetstone. I remember it because the judge was very careful to say, whetstone. Whetstone, listen carefully.
I got out on the word chrysanthemum, so I looked it up today before I came, because it would just be horrible to get the word wrong twice.
How do you spell it?
C-H-R... Oh, you're going to put me on the spot. C-H-R-Y-N-T-H-E-M-U-M?
That's not exactly right, but she's not the only one who studied before coming to the bee. Jenny Whitlock spent the afternoon with a dictionary.
We've got onomatopoeia, down.
How do you spell it?
You can spell it to the tune of Old MacDonald Had a Farm, and it's O-N-O-M-A-T-O-P-O-E-I-A.
Whitlock also took the time to find a costume before leaving the house. Anyone who competes in the bee dressed as a bee gets one round of immunity. But the second round is when the competition gets serious. Forrester didn't just grab these words out of a dictionary. These are graduate school entrance exam type words. They're arduous, Herculean, onerous, labyrinthine. They're really tough.
Okay, your word is proselytize. Agon, also pronounced agon. Internecine, internecine, or internecine. Subfusc. Subfusc. Your word is supererogatory.
For all the fun people are having, there's also learning going on in the bar tonight. And high school chemistry teacher Mark Amick says the competitors, even the drunk, bee-suited hipsters, are doing their part to set a good example for future generations.
A lot of kids talk about loosing an electron instead of losing an electron, and it drives me crazy. But, you know, basic things, spelling flower as though it's a rose instead of the ingredient in bread. That sort of thing. And nothing, you know, no spell checker will catch that. we're not a civilized society anymore when it comes to that. Everybody waits for the red squiggly.
But there aren't any youngsters at the Bee. It's 21 and over only. As the night and the words get longer, the attempted spellings get more creative. For some, it's the intoxicants, but other competitors are done in by French origins, silent H's, and inconsistent applications of the I before E rule. After about 2 hours, there are two teams left. Of the remaining teams, one misses the silent CH in thonic. The last team has to spell two words right in a row to win.
Triskaidekaphobia.
It's a doozy, but...
Triskaidekaphobia.
That is correct.
After that one, the final word seems mundane. It's inveigle, a word meaning to persuade through flattery.
I-N-V-E-I-G-L-E.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have winners!
Teammates Sean Ryan and Mike Tobolewski take first prize. Tobolewski has known this victory before. He's basically the Los Angeles Lakers of the Louisville Spelling Bee.
So it's my third win. I've always been a word enthusiast, and I've had, I always had a competitive streak, so it kind of lets me channel that.
Forrester hopes that kind of competitiveness is widespread. Aside from monthly competitions in Louisville, she's looking into holding bees in other cities.
Chicago, Nashville, Bloomington, big college town, that would be in a lot of hipsters in Bloomington. Pittsburgh, we're talking about doing one in Silicon Valley, Denver, Austin, maybe New York.
And where do you hope it goes from here?
Probably intergalactic, Gabe, I mean...
Until then, monthly spelling bees are still planned for Louisville, tentatively at this same venue, called Zanzibar. Incidentally, the bar's name is misspelled, with an A after the second Z instead of an I. For Only a Game, I'm Gabe Bullard in Louisville.
Our story about the spelling bee for adults in Louisville will be featured on this week's program. We'll also be updating the NBA and NHL playoffs, which, as my friend George Carter would say, have gone all topsy-turvy. I'll have some expert help in trying to account for the absence of U.S. players in the latter rounds of major tennis tournaments, such as the French Open, and I'll be speaking with Stephen Tigner, the author of High Strung, which explores the rivalry between John McEnroe and Bjorn Borg that excited tennis fans a few decades ago. So join us, and remember you can always hear the program at onlyagame.org.